Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, the views of our callers. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please do not call unless we ask for calls. That's please do not call until we have asked for calls. We have with us on the line Melody Cedarstrom from Discount Gold and Silver. And Melody does support Radio Liberty, and we enjoy having her on with us to keep us abreast of what's going on in the financial markets. Melody, are you there? Melody Cedarstrom, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you now.
All right, fine. Well, under any circumstances, Melody's going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about what's going on. The article here just last 48 hours in the Wall Street Journal says that the risk of a disorderly decline in the U.S. dollar could increase unless prices unless policies are put in place that address the global savings and investment imbalances, the International Monetary Fund said today. In its latest assessment of the global financial system, the IMF said financial market correctness and corrections in May and June are a reminder for policymakers to strengthen economic policy and pursue needed structural changes. Now, what they're basically saying is if we don't get the people here in the United States to start saving some money, if we don't get people to start investing instead of spending everything they have, then when the monetary contraction comes, it's going to be disorderly. That is a nice word, a euphemism for a crash. And you read the rest of the article, of course, they're pointing out that they're anticipating the market's going to be fairly well globally for the next couple of years, 5 or 6% increase in growth throughout the world. But then they go on to say, of course, growth is going to be contracting in the United States and Japan and Europe and expanding in Asia. So really most of the growth is not going to be here. It's going to be elsewhere throughout the world. And as you look and see what's really happening throughout the world, you realize that things are not going very well. There's articles here about the federal deficit this year. And, it's going to be so much better than it was last year. Last year it was $316 billion, and it'll be less this year. But, of course, they simply lie to you because last year the debt was not $316 billion. Deficit was not $316 billion. It was up around almost $600 billion. Because they just forget to mention that they do not include in the deficit why the $250 billion we steal and then spend from Social Security and Medicare, taking from one trust fund and putting into another. And they don't mention the cost of the war. That's off budget. So what they're talking about is the on budget items, not the off budget items, all the money that went out for Katrina and for rebuilding New Orleans and along the coast there. And the tragedy is they think people are so dumb that they will actually read these articles and believe they're true. And, of course, when I read the Wall Street Journal, I don't even believe the page numbers. I always check them to make sure they're right. And with that as a thought, why we'll get to Melody here as we begin analyzing what is really going on financially. Right now, the stock market looks pretty good. The price of oil is coming down to coincide with the coming elections in November. They want the people fat and happy just to go right along and don't upset the apple cart. Everything's in place for the new world order, the new world religion. Well, Melody, what do you make of what's going on?
Well, the article that you read, I mean, it is amazing in how they can mislead the people. But what is sad is the majority of the people out there do believe what they read and hear on the television. And so they might think something's wrong, but I heard a woman say earlier, I was out, and she says, well, as long as you mind your own business and you just do what you're supposed to do, life isn't too bad. Well, you know, those are the type of people who turn their eyes or close their eyes. They don't see what's coming, and they will be hurt the most. And so, or unless they're so very wealthy that they might lose some, but they'll be able to protect some of what they own. But for a lot of people out there, if they don't protect what they have, they will be hurt. And we get caught up. Most of the listeners and my customers who own gold and silver in their portfolios, they also become discouraged because we see the manipulations and we see the amount of power that they have in order to move the markets in which they do. But you have to remember that they can only do this for so long. I mean, when you have the U.S. trade deficit widened by 5.0% in July to a record $68 billion, I mean, these are incredible numbers. You can't continue to carry these types of numbers without some sort of a nasty outcome. And they do change the numbers. They have the power. The politicians don't care about the numbers because they only care about one thing. And everybody has a price, and we've seen that the politicians do have a price. And it's very easy for the politicians to move, close their eyes, because, again, they're getting paid. So the economy hasn't improved. The numbers out there that come in are still far beyond control. I mean, they haven't changed. We've seen a correction in gold. We've seen gold, they just crushed gold. It's down almost $60 in less than three trading sessions. And it has confused gold buyers. It has them concerned. They're scared. They think it's going to go to 250 again. But it won't go. Well, I can't say it won't because no one has a crystal ball. But the likelihood of it going to 250 is probably very next to none, because the fundamentals of the things, the fundamentals that kept or increased gold are still there. They haven't changed.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Melody Cedarstrom here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Melody Cedarstrom. It's really very interesting. This article I was reading had commented that those foreigners back in 1994 held $1.2 trillion, that's trillion dollars worth of U.S. assets. Today, foreigners hold $6.3 trillion of U.S. assets as of June of this year. In other words, in about a 22-year period, they've gone from $1.2 trillion of U.S. holdings up to $6.2 or $3 trillion of U.S. holdings. So whatever really is happening is that foreigners are buying up the United States. That's our wealth. That is the heritage of our children. And other countries are simply buying it up. Why? Because we are actually buying more than we're selling. The other countries have all the dollars, and, well, they're going to do something with them. They don't want to just hang on to them or keep them in their mattress. So they're investing them in the United States. They're buying up our roads. They're buying up our factories. They're buying up our bridges, and these are toll bridges I'm speaking of. And step by step, our leaders are selling America out to other countries as part of their globalist vision of redistributing the wealth of the American people. Well, you know, these things are going on. Of course, Melody was just commenting how they have really just crushed the price of gold and silver this last week. But if you realize it's all manipulated, it's manipulated just like the price of oil is. And isn't it interesting that just before the November election, the price of oil drops so that everybody will be happy and suddenly will go ahead and support the current administration? And isn't it interesting, for no apparent reason at all, the market is doing so well. The stock market is well up over 11.5. I mean, there's no reason for it to be up there. Certainly, the price-earnings ratio of the stocks doesn't justify it. But when you all realize it's all manipulated, and in my opinion, it is manipulated for the psychological impact on the American people, so that we will go to the polls, and we certainly would never vote to upset the apple cart. So pick up the story there, Melody.
Someone asked me earlier this week that they couldn't imagine just the lower oil prices would influence the population to go out and vote for the Republicans again. They didn't think that that would be enough. And I said, it isn't so much that the price of oil has dropped. What happens, it just takes it out of their mind, and it puts them back into the same complacency that they've had before it raised it up. They don't understand what's going on with the oil. They don't understand what's going on with the politicians. They don't understand anything about that. The only thing they understand is that their gasoline went from $3 to $2.50. My point is, hey, folks, it's still $2.50. So it's still a big crush in people's wallets, but it makes them, I mean, again, it's the conditioning. They take people to the brink, and they pull them there, and then they take it back to a level in which it's still incredibly higher than what it was a year ago. Well, I guess you'd say a year and a half ago, but they feel a relief, and they think it will be getting better. You know, when something goes down, they think it's going to continue to go down. Just like when something goes up, they think it's going to continue to go up. So it puts people in a complacent attitude, and they don't think about change. You know, there's no need to change, even though they disagree with the immigration problems, and perhaps they don't agree with Iraq, but they're going to vote on what hits their pocketbooks. And it's truly sad that the American people don't understand how what's happening is truly hitting their pocketbooks, just not the price of gasoline. And we've talked about the increase in bankruptcies and foreclosures, and they're passing last year's percentages, and so more and more people are getting hurt. But you know what? The people that are hurting now are the people that they don't care about. You know, when the wealthier people begin to be hurt, and when their pockets begin to shrink, and their investments begin to shrink more than what they have, then people will start taking notice of things maybe a little more seriously. And but gold, yes, they crushed gold this week, but when you think about where gold was a year ago, gold was approximately $450 a year ago. So it did extremely well this year. Silver a year ago was $6.95. And today we have it close to $11. So they've done extremely well, and that's what people have to look to, where they were, where they came from, and the future of gold. And we don't know the date, the time, but we do know in the future these problems that we talk about have to be addressed, or they'll just play out their course, and no matter what happens, people need to protect their purchasing power.
And, of course, it's very interesting to see what's happening with the housing market. Now, we know that they had the stock market bubble and that burst, and but they've been able to manipulate things up without any sound basis for it. Certainly, though, the people who bought into the NASDAQ at 5,000 will never recover the money that they lost with Global Crossing and certainly Enron and all the others, Tyco, the others that went right down the tubes. But now the people who bought the expensive homes, we're beginning to see the prices leveling off. In some areas, they're dropping. In some areas, they're still increasing, but at a much, much slower rate than they have before. And I think it's only a matter of time before people are going to, if they want to sell their homes, they're going to have to start dropping the prices. I know as I drive home every day, there's a mobile home park there, and I see that there's six mobile homes for sale. Usually there'd only be one or two, but now there's six, and there have been about six of them there, six signs out for, probably the last couple of months, reflecting the fact that mobile homes are not selling well. And we live in a very, very desirable area, one of the places where the price of property has really gone up much more than most places. So there are a few places in the country where prices have not gone up. Some places where they've just gone up, but at sea levels, 15 to 20% a year. But all of that is coming to a stop as the interest rates have risen considerably. It's cost you more now to service your loan. But down the line, especially as a lot of the adjustable-rate mortgages suddenly come due, and now they're going to have to come up with the new payments, and it may add $500 to $1,000 more a month for the housing payments, and a lot of people aren't going to be able to afford that. And a lot of people are going to walk away from those houses, and the price then is going to go down. And I really think it's only a matter of time, maybe a year, 2 years before we are in real trouble as far as the housing market is concerned. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. It takes time for these numbers and to filter through the economy. And, you know, we've seen signs. We've seen certain areas in this country where, you know, home values have dropped more so than in other places. I know the area I'm in, central Pennsylvania, close to State College, where we have Penn State. So the properties tend to, they really try to stabilize the real estate in this area. They do place a lot of funds, that the state places a lot of funds into this county because of the college, so it's probably a little more proofed than some of the other areas in Pennsylvania. But there are some areas in Pennsylvania where Adelphia, the cable company that went bankruptcy because the owners absconded with funds and stole money from their companies, that area is just being, properties are going up. People don't have jobs. They can't find jobs. They have to travel. You know, people who live out in the country, they have to travel, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles to their jobs because that's how far they have to go because there aren't jobs readily available. So I think the housing market, when these ARMs, what's interesting, I actually had a call from a mortgage company wanting me to refinance into an adjustable rate mortgage. I said, are you nuts? You know, I said, I don't think I'm interested.
No, I think it's really so interesting what's happening with Ford Motor Company. And they're talking about it. They're really cutting back dramatically on their staff. They're offering to buy out 20 or 30,000 of their workers, you know, give them a certain amount of money, just so their jobs will end forever. Now, they're going to cut back their production here in the United States then at least 20%. But, ladies and gentlemen, don't think for a minute that Ford Motor Company is just going to dry up and go away. They're moving their production facilities to other countries. And this is exactly what General Motors and what other companies are doing. The reason that they're, of course, making these buyout offers is because they have union contracts, and they cannot continue to service those union contracts. And it might be better to put out $4 or $5 billion today and just be able to get out of production in the United States and shift their production to Mexico and to South America and to Asia where they can produce these things ever so much more cheaply than they can here because they would not have these exorbitant union contracts and they would not have their pension funds and all the other things that is just dragging them right down. So this is long-range planning, and, of course, this, is, I believe, is going to take place. And they're going to see another 20 or 30,000 Ford employees. Of course, they're going to have a nice little nest egg there for a short period of time, but most of them will not use it wisely. And then before long, they will be among the impoverished, perhaps even among the living dead, those people looking for jobs, but they can't find them. And we're not seeing the new factories moving in the United States. Yes, there have been a few of the Japanese motor firms that have moved in, but they've gone into the areas where they can, of course, hire people at a much lower rate, where they do not have the massive pension obligations that that we have in Detroit and the other areas that used to be the centers of the American automotive industry. And I fear that very, very soon, the American automotive industry, as we've noted, for the tremendous prosperity it's brought for our people, not just those in the automotive industry, but all across our nation, I fear that very soon that will become a remembrance of things past. Well, I guess, as Melody Cedar sure. Melody, are people, you know, taking advantage of the drops in the prices of gold and silver to invest? Because this would be an excellent time to invest, like yesterday or today.
Absolutely, but they have a little bit of fear. The market, the industry as a whole, it's been, you know, particularly the last couple of days, has been a little on the quiet side. We began to see more interest last week. There was a lot of investors taking advantages of the little bit of a pullback that we saw last week. And but the last couple of days when we saw the close to $60 hit, it's been a little bit on the quiet side. Because I believe people on a whole, they're waiting to see how low can it go. And there will be a point to where gold reaches that they'll begin to pile in. Yeah, because there's a lot of people that are on the sidelines because they understand what's happening. They, you know, these traders, not all of them, but some of them do understand what's going on in the economy. They understand that gold is in a bull market, and when we have demand begin to pick back up, because the fundamentals, again, are still there. We still have the foreigners who are interested in gold. We still have the foreigners who will get to a point where they won't want to hold the dollar any longer. But they'll realize the value of the dollar continuing to decrease. So we still have the same problems. And prior to your break, you talked about jobs, and I had some numbers here. Every passing minute, we give away $1 million more in new purchases to China than we take in making things they want to buy from us. And again, we have the biggest trade deficit in history. And we just don't make anything anymore. Our manufacturing base is about 60% smaller than it once was at its peak. And the number one sector for new jobs in America is the service sector, which behind 90% of new employment last year was the service sector. And the number one company for creating new jobs is McDonald's. And those are the type of jobs we have in this country anymore. And people, I don't get it. I know they borrow from Peter to pay Paul. They use their credit cards as a survival to pay for their groceries, their gasoline, their health care, their medication. And it just amazes me that the Americans out there can continue to do what they're doing. But when you have credit that's easily available, you know, they get new credit announcements in the mail on a daily basis. They can continue to get new credit cards, and they can take their little checks and they pay off the old ones, and they start all over again with a little bit higher interest rate. So, in one of these days, that will come to a crashing halt.
I'm very much afraid you're right, Melody. I think we're living in a fool's paradise. I think that most Americans just don't understand the economic cycles. They don't understand that the banking system has to contract the monetary supply and contract the availability of credit and easy money, or else the whole thing comes crashing down. And this is the time when products, homes, factories go from weak hands into strong hands. And the rich get richer and the poor get poor. And that's the way the game is really played. And we'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Melody Cedarstrom. And Melody has been saying that a lot of people have been just holding back. They don't want to buy gold and silver because they're falling. And what people do not understand is the market is motivated by two things. Greed and fear. Greed and fear. And, of course, people go into investments, most of them, because of greed. And then, of course, when the market turns against them, why, they're motivated by fear, and they act out of panic. And the thing is that I think that the people who are trying to play the market these days are extremely foolish. I think that you take your position and you hold it and you don't worry about it. All you want to do is maintain the value of your wealth you're not going to get rich, but at least you can keep from being destroyed economically while you're way ahead, because it is this desire for greed that always causes people to lose out. Take a conservative defensive position in these days and protect what you have. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment for Melody. Well, Melody, certainly, you know, I'm sure you see this manifested, this greed and fear cycle, don't you, in your customers?
Absolutely. And, and oftentimes you see the combination of both. What people need to realize is gold is something you should have in your portfolio for more than just profit, for more than just greed. It should be there to protect your assets. You know, again, we mentioned, and I'm sure most of the listeners have heard this time and time again, but it cannot be stressed enough that gold is a safety net. Gold protects your financial wealth just like an insurance policy protects your home, auto, and life. You know, when your home burns down, you turn to your fire insurance. When the economy is negatively disrupted, you will turn to your gold investment. So that is why you really need to have gold in your portfolio no matter what happens, no matter where we are, no matter what time. That's why you should have gold in your portfolio. Now, as things progress, as things get worse, then you want to increase your gold holdings. And that's what we've seen over the past 15, 20 years. We've seen people perhaps start out at 10% holding their having gold in their portfolios, and as we see the progression of the economy and the spending and the debts and deficits, you know, people are increasing from 10 to 20 to 30 to 40, and depending on where you are as far as your investment objectives, some even higher than that. Because when the dollar decreases, which it eventually will, then their gold will protect them from any type of lack of performance in their other investments. So that is why you need to have gold in your portfolio from the beginning. It's protection. Gold preserves your net wealth by maintaining your purchasing power. You know, we talk about inflation. You know, gold has always been the ultimate hedge against inflation. It might not react instantly to inflation, but over a period of time. And that's what we've seen ever since they've took us off the gold standard. We've seen inflation and increase. So gold along the way has done what it's supposed to do. More so in the past couple of years because we saw major inflation. So we've seen gold react even more. We have the uncertainty, the geopolitical arena. Gold will respond. So all the things that we talk about, gold, and all the things we talk about the economy around the world, globalism, gold is there to protect. Then we have the fear for all the things, the bad things. You know, we saw gold react briefly after 9/11, all the terrorist announcements, and you know, with London, and we saw gold react briefly. We saw gold react during Katrina. We saw gold react with higher oil prices, which is more inflationary. So you should have so gold will protect you for the greed and for the people. But you're right. People buy during gold and fear cycles.
And, of course, you just cannot react emotionally. That is one of the hardest things that I've learned over my last 77 years. Do not react emotionally. Don't panic. Just take a position and hold it and wait and watch and see what's going to happen. We are in for some very difficult times. There are people at the highest levels of our government who would destroy the value of our currency because they want to take us into something called the Amero. It is a common currency for Canada, the United States, and Mexico because they want to do away with the sovereignty of our nation. And just as in Europe, they have created a euro so that if you read the writings of some of the people, Robert Pastor, who is the architect of this whole idea of uniting the Northern Hemisphere, he writes about the Amero, this new currency. But how will we get American people to give up the greenbacks? Why, of course, one way is to destroy it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we know that the certain countries in the world actually are increasing their gold holdings, and one of them is Russia. It's amazing to see what's happening in Russia, as Russia becomes the largest oil producer in the world. What happened to Saudi Arabia? Why, they're number two. Russia is the largest oil producer and natural gas producer in the world. And, of course, this has happened, thanks very much, to America's guidance. And, of course, they are going going down very deep in getting the oil, and we're not really going into the areas, lots of areas. We have, there's plenty of oil. We could be, once again, the largest producer. But that is not what the plan is. The plan is, of course, to transfer America's wealth to other nations, and Russia then is becoming on really right now is a very stable currency of all things, and they're actually adding gold to their monetary reserves, as is China, as is Argentina, and I believe probably India is too. I don't know whether it's the people buying the gold or the Indian government, but at least in these countries, they're purchasing gold, and we keep saying, oh, well, we're just going to keep selling our gold. But gold is the anchor for any monetary system. And the one thing that they do not want is, of course, is the people to have an anchor for our system. They want an anchor for their system. They know the golden rule, and that is, he who has the gold rules. And so, basically, they keep talking about selling off their gold, and I don't think they're doing it. I think that they have, as those of you who've seen our financial tsunami syllabus, will know that they're in the Federal Reserve Bank, in the basement of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York City, according to their publications, they have over $1 trillion in gold. But it's not American gold. The gold belongs to six major countries. They don't say which they are, but I'm sure it would be England and Germany, probably France and one or two others. And they simply move the gold back and forth on pallets from one pile to another. And here is where the gold is kept. They keep talking about selling the gold to make you think that it's of no value. Why would you want it if the banks are selling it? But the truth of the matter is they understand the value of gold. And of course, they do not want the American people or anybody else to have anything behind the value of their paper currency. I suggest everybody get a copy of Alan Greenspan's 1966 article, his essay on the value of gold. Get Alan Greenspan's 1966 article and read it. He says he wouldn't change one single word of it. Well, I guess it's Melody Cedars. From Melody, why don't you get your telephone number and your webpage out there so people would know how to get in touch with you. And then our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But how can people get in touch with you and get your material?
They can call the 800 number, which is the toll-free number, 1-800-375-4188. And again, that number is 1-800-375-4188. Excuse me, and they can go to the website. They can visit the website. It gives the listeners an idea what Discount Gold and Silver is all about. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And you do have to spell out that three-letter word and, A-N-D. So it's Discount Gold and silvertrading.net. And I don't post prices on the website. It was just it was just too time consuming. Prices were constantly changing, so we designed the website to give the client an idea of what Discount Gold and Silver is all about. And we like to educate our clients by telling them what the different what kind of gold products are available and how each one performs, how they're bought, how they're sold, what their bid prices are based on, whether it's based on melt value or if it's based on a little more rare or supply and demand issue for the coins. So we go over that with all the clients so they can make great decisions in putting together their portfolio.
Well, I think that certainly I think that people should begin looking to where we're going, and you need your savings. You need to have your wealth in something that will hold its value. And unfortunately, down through the ages, certainly paper money has not held its value. In fact, it was Daniel Webster who said, I would paraphrase him, simply the greatest deception for the working man of all time has been the belief in the value of gold and the value of paper money. Paper money has never held its value, and especially when you have a country such as ours that today is the largest debtor nation in the world and is having to borrow $3 billion every single day of the year, $3 billion every single day of the year, just to pay our debts. You cannot have this thing go on indefinitely. And whether you read the writings of Paul Volcker or certainly Stephen Roach of Morgan Stanley or many of the others, they will tell you that we are on the verge of financial disaster. But the average individual cannot understand that, and yet we opened our program simply quoting from the International Monetary Fund. And they cloak their words in vague terms. They're hard to know what they're talking about, but basically they say the risk of a disorderly decline in the U.S. dollar could increase unless policies are put in place that address global savings and investment. Now, what they're really saying, of course, is that when they talk about a disorderly decline in the U.S. dollar, they're talking about a collapse of the dollar, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Absolutely. And it's... the rest of the world knows it, and it's amazing that the people... sometimes, Dr. Stan, I just don't get it. I understand everything. I understand what's going on in the mindset of the people and the agenda and how they've been controlled and everything, but yet you think one of these days they would begin to wake up, and I guess slowly they are. They are beginning to ask questions, and I see that with the calls that I receive, people who know something's wrong, they're not quite sure what it is, and they feel that they have to do something. So it is beginning, and perhaps we saw a little more of it when gold was around 720, 730, but the calls are still coming in that general direction. It's not just those that are fully aware of what's going on, knowing that they have to buy gold immediately to protect their purchasing power. They need to get out of the dollar. But the questions are coming, so I guess that is a good thing. And you continue to hear the talk about Russia and China and Argentina, Korea, and all the rest of them. You still hear the talk about them increasing or planning to increasing their gold reserves. And they understand that gold is a currency and that it is slowly coming back into the monetary system. There was a senior foreign exchange trader out of the corporate bank in Sydney who recently said that the central banks will use gold as a fourth currency instead of the dollar, euro, and yen to hedge exchange rate risk. Gold will be underpinned. So that is... those are the headlines that you see on a regular basis. And so when you see what the rest of the world is doing. Central banks are advising, China. They've been said that they should use its foreign currency reserves, the world's largest, to buy gold and oil as a hedge to guard against the risk of a sudden drop in the U.S. dollar. So I want to do what the central banks are doing, and that's what the people should do. They should do what the central banks are doing. The central banks are buying gold. They're not buying copper. They're not buying stocks. They're not buying... they're buying gold. They're going to be covering their reserves with gold. They want gold because they understand that it is monetary. And when you have a flight out of the dollar, it will cause the dollar to fall, and it's just as simple as that. And with a dropping dollar, it's going to be great for gold because gold is going to rise. Gold rises because the dollar goes down. It loses its value. So it's and I believe also that people have become accustomed to things happening immediately. They know what's happening, and they think it should happen today. That should happen on our time frame. But when you have the control that the central banks have and what our Federal Reserve has, it just goes a little bit slower. So as you mentioned, people need to be patient. They need to begin saving, and those savings should be in gold, and they need to put it away for that rainy day for when we see these central banks begin to take a flight out of the dollar and we see the dollar fall. So,
you know, I think it's so interesting. We see the IMF talking about the disorderly decline of the dollar. Now, there's only two ways that dollar can decline, either orderly or disorderly. And the IMF is not saying, you know, is the dollar going to go down? That, of course, is taken for granted. The question is, will the decline of the dollar be orderly, or will the dollar be decline in a disorderly fashion? And they're saying, you know, what the Americans have got to do is stop buying things on credit, start saving money, and if you do, you will have an orderly decline of the dollar. If you do not, you'll have a disorderly decline of the dollar. But nobody is questioning that the value of the dollar goes down. Now, what does that mean to the average individual? It means if you travel in another country, things will cost you far more. It means that if you buy things that are made in other countries, they will cost you far more. And the only thing that will not go up are the things that are made here in the United States as the dollar goes down. The trouble is, most of the things we buy today are not made in the United States. They're made in China or in other countries. And that really means, of course, that whatever we are buying is going to cost us more, as the value of our life savings, of our pensions, of our CDs, of our bank deposits, of everything that we put our confidence in declines. And, of course, the problem is that here you really can't put your all of your faith in your money, but at least you ought to try to protect what you have and realize that we're involved in very difficult financial times. And there are powerful spiritual forces, which I believe are going to bring terrible vengeance on this country. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, if you have a comment, maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that things are really doing well financially, and this is just a lot of scare talk, and that people should just go ahead and eat, drink, and be merry, because who knows what tomorrow brings? And nobody even knows what tomorrow brings, but I will tell you that the way that the people are acting in Washington, D.C., when the President of the United States says that torture is not really torture, it's just how you define it. Certainly the Geneva Convention, which we've always adhered to until recently, while the Geneva Convention is so vague, we really don't know what it really means, torture. It all depends on, I remember Bill Clinton, he says, it really depends upon what is. And George Bush is saying, torture really means what torture is, and what does it really mean? Do you honestly believe that God is going to continue to bless a nation that resorts to torture, to break people's will so they've given them information? You don't even know if the information is valid or not. And believe me, we have not warded off any terrorist attacks because of the information they've gotten. The lead article in the latest issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, that's Foreign Affairs, published by the Council on Foreign Relations. This is what the powerful, the rich, the wealthy read to find out what's really going on. And the lead article this month, starting on page 2, Why Haven't They Attacked Us Again? And the basic conclusion is, why haven't the terrorists attacked us? Because there really isn't much of a terrorist threat at all. It's pretty well all contrived. Now, that's what they're telling the elite, the people who run our country, who work on our state departments. This is the thing they're reading, but they're not going to tell the American people, because they're trying to get us to quiver and shake and be fearful all the time. My goodness, at any time, why, they can start blowing up our planes, they can start attacking and killing our people, and that's why we've got to resort to torture. And back our president who's fighting those terrorists, because we don't, of course, fight them on the streets of Baghdad. We're going to be fighting them on the streets of New York City. And if you believe that, you are incredibly naive. Well, anyway, Melody, you know, as we look and see what's going on financially, You know, and we realize that, Chris, I believe much of what's going on today is being manipulated in preparation for the November elections. What do you foresee happening after November?
I think we could see a number of things. We could see things. Gold, the past 3 years, gold has performed very well. And most of the years, gold does most of its increases during the December-January time frame, February. So I would expect that once the election is over, everything that they did to show the country that things are fine will catch up and things will begin to unravel. It always happens at that time of the year, and I think this year with the election, we all know what's being done. I mean, it's being done with massive amounts. You can almost see. I mean, if you follow gold on a daily basis like I do, and from a minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour type, when you watch the charts and you watch, you can see when the money comes in. You can see on the different days where the gold is up and the market is down. The next day, the market is up and gold is down. We had 9-1-1 this week, and if you followed gold this week, you could see the, you know, just how everything has just played out. I mean, it's all a stage for them. It is all manipulation. I mean, and they don't care anymore if people know that it's manipulated, because they know the people that they have to fool, they're fooled. So the few of us that know what's going on, they don't care, and it's pretty easy almost to follow them anymore. You can see the times when the markets change, and it always happens like in the last half hour of trading, and so it's very easy to follow. But I do believe after the elections, I think things will catch up to them, and reality will set in, and it should be very interesting after the election. I think things will happen very quickly after the election. Do I think it's the final? No, I don't. I don't think anyone can figure out, you know, unless something happens. I mean, I believe we're going to have possibly some sort of an outside influence. Anything could happen any time. I mean, they are, as far as I'm concerned, they're crazy in Washington. This administration will do anything. I don't think they could. We have Iran to face. We have a lot of things to face. And I believe in 07 they'll begin to unfold.
And I really think, of course, that they've already made the decision to go to war with Iran.
All they need,
of course, is a justification to do it. In other words, they know the American people don't want to be in Iraq. I mean, the vast majority of the American people would like to pull out. But the Bush administration has no intention of pulling out. The Bush administration wants to go to war with Iran. They've come up with all sorts of contrived excuses, like Iran is on the verge of developing nuclear weapons, and of course, you know, once they get them, they're going to immediately attack Israel and attack the United States to protect ourselves and to protect the American people from the horrors of nuclear war. Why, we're going to have to attack Iran, inflame the entire Islamic world, and maybe even have to use a few nuclear weapons to take out their nuclear production facilities. In fact, apparently the Bush administration has been wanting to use limited nuclear strikes. The military is totally against it. Going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out, but I think that you have to understand that our leaders want to expand the war in the Middle East, which doesn't make sense from a logical point of view. But then, certainly what happened on 9/11 did not make sense from a logical point of view. I mean, why would they send all the planes that were supposed to guard Washington, D.C. that morning off to military exercises in Canada and Gander and elsewhere? Why did they have military exercises that simulated hijacking planes and crashing them into buildings that morning and then insert all sorts of false information onto the radar screen so that the air traffic controllers at the FAA and at NORAD, the military defense facilities, didn't know what was real and what was not? How was Osama bin Laden able to do that? Or maybe Osama bin Laden didn't do that. Maybe somebody did that who wanted an excuse to go to war with Afghanistan, to go to war with Iraq, and, of course, the next victim, I fear, will be Iran. And when you start a war, you never know how it's going to end. And history records over and over time that when nations go from war to war to war, they eventually go bankrupt, whether it be ancient Rome or ancient Greece or Spain, and certainly in the 1600s or Great Britain in the last century. I mean, at the beginning of the last century, the British pound was the reserve currency of the world. And by the time we got through with the Second World War, why, it was the American currency that was the reserve currency of the world. Are we going the same way as ancient Greece and ancient Rome and Spain during the 1600s? Well, I fear we are. We'll be back here in just a moment. Melody, let's get your telephone number one more time.
The telephone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
And your website?
The website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Well, Melody, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
You know what's sad, Dr. Stan, is I believe a lot of the American people out there, they almost want us to go to war with Iran. They think that if we bombed them or nuked them, that would be the end to the situation over there, and they just don't understand the consequences of doing that. And it's very sad, but I know that my customers who own gold and silver, they will be protected from the fall of the dollar, and their purchasing power will be protected. So it is important, and you hear a lot of people talk about the different types of gold. You hear about the different, you know, you need to buy this, you need to buy that, and we just do things a little differently here, because I believe there are different types of gold products, and each one has a place in a portfolio. That is never discussed. Usually clients are told, you need to buy this, you need to buy this, you need to buy this, without any real reason, or the reasons are misrepresented. And we just don't do that here. We spend the time to go over the products, and so the customers feel comfortable with what they're purchasing, because it is a major purchase, because they are protecting their purchasing power. They are protecting their assets, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. And it's not, some stock that you buy and, you know, hope that it goes up, and if it goes down, oh, well. I mean, this is protecting your wealth and your purchasing power. It's very important. So we don't take that lightly here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And I'd be more than happy to review portfolios, precious metals portfolios, and sometimes they need to be adjusted or tweaked so that perhaps they'll perform a little bit better for when the price rises. I don't believe in trading coins just to trade. You should buy them and hold them. But I've seen some of the portfolios, and I've seen some of the coins that have been sold. And sometimes it can be a good thing to adjust your portfolio. So I'd be more than happy to look at your gold and silver portfolios. And you can call me at 1-800-375-4188. And I have very competitive pricing, and they're not the lowest all the time. And, dealers do loss leaders. They play different games, and we don't do that. Time is too valuable, and my client's money is too valuable. So we don't do those things here. So again, the number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
We're out of time, Melody. God bless you. Good night.
God bless you too. Bye bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we're in very uncertain times. And those of you who have not heard our talk on the financial tsunami, why, it's available in both DVD and in VHS, and of course you can get it along with the syllabus. We have a little pamphlet we put together called The History of Money. And it goes into the background of money and where it came from, where these ideas came from. And then how this whole thing was taken over by a group of unscrupulous men who wanted to use the power of money to enslave the world. And we simply quote people like Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, who explained to Bill Clinton who it is who rules the world and how he could become part of their club. The pamphlet is called The History of Money, and all of these things, if you'd like to know more about them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration to coming to the conference we're going to be having here in the Monterey Bay area. It's going to be on the 29th of October. We're going to have Constance Cumby, Chris Pinto, who put out the video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Constance Cumby, who wrote the classic book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, a book that had a profound impact on my thinking back in 1982 or 1983, because at that time I'd been studying what was going on in the world for 20 years, and I knew I was missing something, and I knew that all of the conservative organizations I was working with, none of them would tell me the whole truth. And Constance Cumby, God bless her, did help me to understand the other dimension that is there, and the secret societies that are founded in the occult. And without knowledge, then we've been able to go on and really begin to put things all together. So the 29th of October here in the Monterey Bay area. Now, if you're coming from another area and you're going to need hotel accommodations, we'll only be able to hold those accommodations for another couple of weeks. And after that, well, you'll have to get your full tab for the rooms. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to come to our all-day conference. And we're going to have a great time. And I know in the past experience, usually when the day is over, nobody wants to go home. But unfortunately, we have to clear the room because there'll be other people using it later. And then, of course, we certainly hope many of you, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'd like to get it, or the DVD or the video that goes with that. If you really want to understand what's happening in Iraq, you need to get the video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus that goes with it. Why? Because this deals with all of the wars of the last century, and even the two wars that preceded the last century, the Boer War and the Spanish-American War. And until you understand that in the Spanish-American War, after we liberated the Philippines and brought those people freedom, we killed between 200,000 and 1 million Filipinos. Some people say 1.5 million Filipinos as we brought them freedom. But you see, there are people, there are wicked people, who think nothing at all about slaughtering large numbers of people because they believe America has a manifest destiny to lead the whole world into a new world order and a new world religion. And if you've never heard the story of the Philippine Massacre, you can, of course, read about it up on the Internet, Spanish-American War, Philippines was killed, and the figure is somewhere between 200,000 and 1 million to 1.5 million Filipinos. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And if we won't take a stand for righteousness, if we won't stand up and say there was no reason to drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki because the Japanese have been trying to surrender for 6 months. I know that because I was told that by General Albert Medemeyer, who commanded the forces in China. He told me that personally. And furthermore, if you get the syllabus of Iraq, the Untold Story, where you'll actually see the clipping from the front page of the Chicago Tribune. The front page of the Chicago Tribune there in August 15th, I think it is, of 1945. The Japanese had been trying to surrender, and we wouldn't let them. Pray for America. Pray for revival. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Greater Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, the views of our callers. And, of course, our telephone number, if you'd like to call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America, out across the world. Or, of course, here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we're hoping to have Orlean Kula with it tonight. And Orlean is going to be putting a program on. It's going to be on Saturday morning at the Santa Rosa Christian Church. And I'm going to be speaking there. Michael Shaw from Santa Cruz will be there. And there'll be several other speakers. Orlean's going to be speaking. And we're going to... Maria Donnelly has some good information about some things, but we'll see what Orlean has to say here in just a moment. Orlean, are you with us?
I am, Dr. Stan.
What's this about Maria Donnelly having some good information about Native Americans? And for our listeners out there who doesn't know Maria, why don't you tell them a little bit about who is Maria?
She is the vice president of our organization that we formed here in Sonoma County to try to fight for our property rights. It's called Sonoma County Land Rights Coalition. And she's been doing so much research because this has all been so new to her. And the more she gets into it, the more fascinating it is. But she was researching today about sustainable development and discovered an Indian chief that... I guess at first he went along with this, thinking it was going to be something beneficial, but now he's very much opposed to it. So I asked her to either call in, or maybe you could talk to her at the last half hour of the program.
Will she be calling in, or what?
She'll be calling in, I believe.
All right, fine. Well, then we'll just be glad to have her on. We've had Maria before. She's a lovely lady and does such an excellent job. And, of course, what's amazing is she's only been aware of the fact that there is an organized, coordinated, a malicious effort to take away the property rights of people, and she's only been aware of it. It was just really a matter of a few months, isn't it so?
That's right. It was about 2 months ago that we began to find out that our creeks were going to have this 100-foot setback on either side, and that affects my land, and it also affects hers.
Now, I think what people have to understand is that there is a long-range plan where they want to take away the property rights of the American people. What they really want to do is those people who survive the coming Holocaust, and they plan a Holocaust because they plan on getting rid of an awful lot of people. There is a population control agenda, and you can read about that on my webpage, and we simply quote what they say about the number of people who are going to have to be eliminated, and that these people are deadly serious. But for those people who do survive, they want to get them off their property, especially if they have a nice plot of land around them. They want to get them into small, so-called sustainable communities where they can have informants watching them, where, of course, they can live, where they can work. They won't need to travel. That way they won't use their cars and pollute the planet and use up all those natural resources which really belong to the elite. What they're talking about is a sustainable future, where we limit the amount of the use of natural resources. This is a plan that's put forward by people like Al Gore, by Prince Charles, and certainly Prince Philip, his father, by the ruling elite of the Club of Rome, by Gorbachev, by the Rockefellers, by the Ted Turners of this world, an elite who really have a different vision of the world. A world that they will rule in, and the rest of us will simply be serfs on their plantation. Well, Orlean, you pick up the story there.
Well, that's exactly how you've described it. I've been researching this for probably about 15 years because I discovered there was such an agenda in the public schools, and I am a substitute teacher here in Santa Rosa. How I really woke up to the fact that something was very strange going on, I read a letter to the editor. A 14-year-old girl had written who attended the same junior high as my son, and in her letter she said because of what she had been taught in her environmental science class, she was ashamed of being human and wished that Homo sapiens had never been created. And I thought, my word, what a strange thing for a young girl to be taught. I thought our kids were supposed to be taught that self-esteem, and here they're being taught the world would be better if they weren't honest. And so I read some more of her article. She, of course, it was because 40 to 50% of all animals are now endangered or extinct. Well, I discovered from doing some research, they just pull these statistics out of the sky. It doesn't seem to matter what biologist is saying or being quoted. Sometimes it's 90%. It's, you know, outrageous. And then she mentioned how terrible it was that we were cutting down trees and the rainforest. And then at the end of her article, she quoted Chief Seattle, that when all the animals die, then man will die of loneliness of heart. Well, doing some research on that, I discovered Chief Seattle never said any of that. That was just all made up as well. So I wrote a letter to the editor in reply to this, but the Press Democrat would not print my letter. They said that would be hurting a young girl's tender feelings. I didn't give her name. I just was saying these things are not true. So then I got really upset, and I began to do more and more research. I ended up writing a 5-page article. I sent it to every conservative organization I knew. It was published in Nebraska and Wyoming and Idaho and California, and that's what really launched me finding out more and more about sustainable development and mainly the indoctrination in our public schools. So I was aware of a lot of this. I had heard Michael Kaufman speak about the Biodiversity Treaty, and I had heard Michael Shaw speak. I'd heard you speak, and so I was aware of it, but never did I think it was going to affect my own property. But it certainly has, just about every aspect of it, these setbacks on our creeks. We were also designated as biotic habitat, which means there's some kind of an endangered species or endangered plant on our property. And our well is affected, a well that 14 families are going to be sharing. Well, we share it here, but it's going to be affected if they go through with this plan.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Arlene Kula. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just comment that Arlene is putting a program on Saturday morning. It's at the Santa Rosa Christian Church. Is that the right title to it?
Yes.
And, of course, it's anybody would be interested in knowing about that meeting. Arlene, would you want to put your telephone number out so people can get in touch with you?
Yes, it's 707-539-8393.
One more time.
707-539-8393.
539-8343.
Okay. No, 8393.
All right, fine. So if you want that number, you can just give us a call here. And, of course, Ari, who's at the desk, can get that for you, and it's going to start at 8:30 in the morning, and it's going to, I'm going to guess, because it'll be a continental breakfast, and then after that there'll be the speakers, and I'll be speaking, and I guess I'm the master of ceremonies.
Yes, you are our master of ceremonies. We love your beautiful radio voice.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, I don't tell a lot of stories, so it'll be pretty straightforward. But I think you'll find that the speakers there are very, very well worthwhile listening to. Well, anyway, if anybody's interested in going, fine. Otherwise, we'll be actually taking films, videos of that, and they will be available down the line. I think it's so important people understand there is a master plan. The average individual has no idea that somebody wants to take their property, wants to regulate every aspect of their life and their children's lives, and all in the name of sustainable development or Agenda 21. So, Arlene, why don't you describe, first of all, sustainable development, and then explain to our listeners what Agenda 21 is.
Well, sustainable development essentially means, this is a United Nations term, but actually it first originated in the communist constitution, but it essentially means that, according to them, the next generation will have resources, they will be sustainable for them, and there will be development. But the truth of it is, there will be nothing will be sustained, and there will be no development if their plans go according. And where these plans have already been implemented, such as Santa Cruz, I understand Santa Cruz looks like a third world country, and other cities where this has been implemented, it essentially stops development, stops farmers from being able to use their land as they would like to use it. It stops the free enterprise system upon which our nation was built, and it takes freedoms away from people. Agenda 21 is another term for it. This was implemented by the Biodiversity Treaty in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, and 178 countries signed on to it, including our own nation by President Bush Sr. I think he was scared into doing this because he'd been told that there was a hole in the ozone layer right over his own ranch in Texas. And, of course, nobody really knew what they were signing. They had never seen this treaty. When our Senate was supposed to ratify it, they were going to ratify it sight unseen. Fortunately, this nice man, the scientist Michael Kaufman, was able to get a copy of the treaty from Switzerland, and he got it to them just hours before they were to ratify it, and he pointed out, yes, it does mention the Wildlands Project, which would mean that 50% of our nation was supposed to go back into pre-Columbian time and really rewilding half of the United States. And when they realized that that terminology was in there, they refused to sign the treaty. But it didn't seem to matter if they refused to sign it or not. It was implemented by Bill Clinton when he was the president under executive orders. So it's essentially going through our nation.
I think what people have to understand is an effort in the name of maintaining the natural resources of our country and the rest of the planet to regulate every aspect of human endeavor, to regulate our homes, to regulate our use of water, regulate our use of air. We can't contaminate the air with CO2. You know, we have to begin then to limit the amount of CO2 emissions, and we certainly are going to have to change the electricity use, the use of fossil fuels. We're going to have to use, to limit the use of highways, limit the use of our automobiles. And people say, that's crazy talk. What are they talking about? They're really talking about a truly diabolical plan built upon a thesis that was put forward in 1972. It was called The Limits of Growth. It was published by the Club of Rome. And it was that same year when Marie Strong, who was a member of the Club of Rome, held the first Earth Summit in 1972. And then, of course, 20 years later, they held the second Earth Summit in Rio, known as the Rio Summit, where they laid out something known as the Global Biodiversity Plan. And the basic theme of this is there are too many people in the world. What we really want to do is destroy existing civilization and get the world back to the way it was before the evil white man came. And if you think that sounds like crazy talk, you're absolutely right. The only trouble is that the people who are implementing this plan are some of the most powerful and wealthy people in the world. And if you only have to read their Global Biodiversity Assessment, published by Cambridge University Press, and we have a copy of it, but we've summarized that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, which lays out this whole incredible plan. They want to limit your use of water and how much water you use, because after all, the world is running out of water. We want to use, limit the use of wood that's burned. We want to limit the use of oil and certainly of electricity. We have to lower the living standards to that of the Eastern European peasant so that there'll be, otherwise we're just going to run out of resources. And it doesn't make any sense. There's plenty of resources. We have far more resources. Every year we find more and more. But it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. As long as they can maintain this myth, why, they will continue expanding their control, because that's what it's all about, is controlling us. Go ahead, Earlene.
And what is so sad, this myth is being so permeated in our public schools. As a substitute, I'm often asked to teach biology, and I have never been able to find any book, any video that does not go along with the environmental viewpoint. It's amazing. So any little child coming out of 12 years of school and then university is so indoctrinated that they come out a little army of environmentalists, and they totally believe all of the lies. I think it was Hitler that said, if you say a lie often enough, people will definitely believe it, and that's what's happening. And you can see this army of environmentalists everywhere. I researched in our public library just for the fun of it. I went in under the title of environmentalism. I found 98 books, all pro-environmentalism. No book was even in the library giving another viewpoint. So you can see what has happened to our nation. We are a nation of indoctrinated people now, and you can understand why laws are being passed right and left. No one would dare doubt that all these species are really endangered, even though they're not. No one would dare speak out against this wonderful army of environmentalists who are the saviors of the earth, anyway they think they are. So we are in a real dilemma.
Oh, I think we really are. And the thing is that the solution to every problem that we face is a new series of government laws that will further restrict the freedom of the individual. But you hear a lot about global warming. Is global warming a reality? Is it true that the Arctic, ice caps in the Arctic and Antarctic at the top and bottom of the Earth are melting? Yes, they are. But also are the ice caps on Mars, at the top of Mars, at the bottom of Mars. They're melting as well. Do you honestly think that is related to too much driving and too much CO2 in the air on Mars? No, of course not. I mean, we're in a warming stage. We've been in a warming stage since the 1600s. Why do you think they call Greenland Greenland? Why? Because 1,000 years ago, when Leif Erikson was there, it was green and lush, and they were growing grapevines and fields, and everything was green, and that's why they called it Greenland. And then the world went into a cooling session for 600 years, and the cooling session ended about 1600. We've been warming ever since then, gradually warming since then. What are greenhouse gases? Predominantly moisture. Over 90% of greenhouse gases are moisture. Only 2 to 3% are CO2. And actually, CO2 makes things grow ever much lusher, ever much better. There is no scientific evidence that man's activity has, caused global warming. But it doesn't matter what the truth is. They lie. They control the media. They've convinced the public. They've convinced the children. You can see the control of the media by the fact that ABC, all the major news magazines and all the major newspapers all carry the same lies. That scientists have agreed that global warming, secondary to man's activities, is a factor, and they have not agreed upon that at all. Many of the leading scientists, the majority of the leading scientists, do not believe that. My friend Art Robinson sent out a survey to scientists, over 17,000 scientists, qualified scientists, scientist petitions saying, man's activity is not creating global warming. Yes, global warming is a reality, and it is because of the activity of the sun, not because of anything man has done. But the solution, of course, is we're going to have to destroy the industrial base of America. And remember that the Kyoto Protocol has nothing to do with China or India or the greatest polluting nations in the world. And it's not going to affect France, because they're getting their electricity from nuclear energy made with American technology. They get 80% of their electricity that way. We're not allowed to make it use nuclear energy here, because they want an excuse to destroy our economy. And that's exactly what they intend to do. And that's why it's so vitally important that people understand that there is an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort to destroy our nation and really the peoples of the world. Well, Arlene, you go right ahead.
I would like to add to what you said about global warming. I was asked to substitute teach for a fourth grade classroom at an elementary school, and the assignment was to have them read this interesting little newspaper that had come out by Scholastic News. On the cover of it, it showed two penguins floating on a piece of ice, and it said, you know, the penguins are losing their ice, and this was because of global warming and how tragic it was. And of course, this was all written for the tender feelings of young children. And the article, of course, it was talking about the Kyoto Treaty and how we needed to sign on to it, and also mentioned how all of the continents of the world would be covered with more and more water because of the melting of the icebergs. So I had the kids read the assignment like they were supposed to, and then I said, I wrote on the board the words that you are now supposed to think critically, critical thinking. And I said, asked them if anyone knew what that meant, and they said no. And I said, well, critical thinking means you're supposed to be able to weigh both sides of an issue. So you've just read what this article says. I would now like to give you another side. And in my purse, I just happened to have a letter to the editor that I was going to mail that day about this very issue. And I quoted in my letter just the 17,000 scientists that you had mentioned that had signed saying there was no global warming. And if there was global warming, it was not because of man, that it was because of natural occurrences, so much CO2 coming out of the oceans because of volcanoes erupting. And then I said, furthermore, let's try an experiment. I said, or surely you can think of this in your mind. I said, if you had a glass of water and the water at the top of the glass, you added some ice cubes, would the glass of water now run over because the ice cubes are melting? And they said, no. And I said, why is that? Well, one smart little boy said, well, when water turns into ice, it expands, and when it melts, it contracts. And so essentially, it kind of stays the same. And I said, that's right, and that's with the icebergs. They're not going to create a huge rise in the oceans because they are melting. And so they could logically all agree with that. Then when at the end of the discussion, they were supposed to evaluate on their Scholastic News the questions. Do you think that the article I have read is based on scientific evidence, or is it just someone's opinion? They all wrote it was someone's opinion. Well, in the classroom was a mother and a student from Sonoma State University. And the student was just appalled at what I was saying, and he asked some questions, and I was able to answer them. The mother at the end stood up and said, I would like to thank Mrs. Curla. I said, this is a wonderful example of freedom of speech. Only in America would you be able to find this. And she said, from what you have now heard, how many of you agree with what you read in this article? Not a single hand went up. She said, how many of you agree with Mrs. Curla? All the hands went up. And so that was kind of exciting. But, you know, that's only one classroom out of all our classrooms that get to hear a different viewpoint on global warming. And I was talking to one teacher in the faculty room about this, and he was just so appalled at what I was saying.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Orlean is just saying that she was in her class. She had come out and told the children, in essence, that global warming, the what they're being taught about global warming, is simply a scam. And it is a scam designed, of course, to expand government control over every aspect of our lives. And really, of course, if we were to sign the Kyoto Protocol, we would have to destroy the industrial infrastructure of America and cut back our production of electricity, you know, probably 40% or 50% from where we are today. And of course, this would have to raise the price up. You wouldn't be able to have your air conditioners on. You wouldn't be able to have electric heat at all. But anyway, Orlean was saying that she was talking to a teacher in the cafeteria after she had actually talked to the children in the class to expose the scam of global warming. And what did this woman say, Orlean?
It was actually a man.
A man, okay.
And he was so upset by what I was saying, he said nothing. He just got up and walked out. And I thought, isn't this sad? We can't even have an honest discussion if you do not agree with all the rest of the philosophies of the other teachers. It's like you are the enemy, and they're not even going to waste time talking to you. It was just amazing.
Oh, you know, I had a very, very similar experience. I went to a meeting one time, and there was a young man there from Santa Cruz, and he was supposed to give me something, a case full of magazines. And the subject of nuclear energy came up, and of course I said I was in favor of nuclear energy. I thought it was an ideal solution to the problem. It didn't pollute the air, and certainly we don't want to take the depleted uranium and use it in shells. But as far as the production of electricity, this is a great thing to do. And he said, what are you going to do as far as the nuclear waste? I said, we don't know what to do with the nuclear waste. I said, you just reprocess it like every other country does. They just don't allow it to do that. They looked at me shocked, and he said, well, would you want a nuclear reactor in your backyard? And I said, my son was on an aircraft carrier, where it's just powered by a nuclear reactor. He was on it for several tours, and not a bit of harm. Every nuclear submarine in our Navy is powered by a nuclear reactor, and these young men live and work, for months at a time right next to those nuclear reactors. I said, they do not produce their electricity. They produce their electricity by producing heat and steam, and they turn a steam turbine. Do you know how they work? He got so angry, he just walked away and never gave me the case of magazines. He could not, of course, allow that thought, because I was challenging the very core beliefs that he had. He'd been indoctrinated in by the very people he probably hates, not realizing, of course, it's the people of great wealth and power who are behind this whole sustainable development scam.
That's very true. There's one other aspect of this. As you know, they have gotten rid of all of the freon that used to furnish our air conditioning with what it needed, as well as for our cars, our refrigeration. And I used to sell a product known as Halon, which has some of the same properties as freon. They're both biochlorofluorons or whatever it's called, and they are heavier than air. And so there's absolutely no way that the freon could go up into the atmosphere and disturb the ozone layer.
Oh, no, but see, you're using logic, you know. Everybody knows it goes up and destroys the ozone hole because we've been told that. And yet you're absolutely right. This is heavier than air, and it doesn't go up, it goes down.
Exactly. And yet they've also taken Halon off the market. Halon was one of the best and safest fire extinguishers you could ever imagine. And I was talking to a refrigerator repairman when he came to our home about this, and he said this was the biggest hoax he could ever imagine. He said this freon was so cheap and inexpensive and so clean, and they've replaced it with something that's far more costly and not as good. And he's agreed that freon was heavier than air. It just goes into the ground and dissipates. What also is so interesting, you never even hear anyone mention the ozone layer anymore. It's like we've totally forgotten about that.
Well, of course, you know, the real thing was that DuPont had a patent on freon, and their patent was running out. And, of course, they had then, of course, if they lost their patent, then it would be even cheaper, and it would be, I mean, everybody could produce it. And so they had to create this scam so people would be forced to use another one of their products. But nobody ever told the American people. And because they could coordinate all of the media, because they could coordinate, you know, all of the educational facilities, because they could coordinate the entire environmental movement, they were able to convince the people of this ozone hole, which has always existed. It comes on, and they believe in the winter, and then it goes away in the summer, or vice versa. And, of course, it's still the same as ever. But they can't let the American people know that this was all done by a massive propaganda campaign. And the only people, of course, who benefit were the people from DuPont and their stockholders, and the rest of us, of course, are paying fantastic sums of money for very expensive refrigerants that are totally unnecessary. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Arlene Kula, and I wonder if this is Maria going to be calling in?
She told me she would, I guess, whenever you ask for telephone
calls.
Well,
we'll take telephone calls. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there listening and you'd like to give us a call, is it Maria or Maria?
Maria.
Maria, okay. And let's see, we're going to, apparently our producer has called Maria and told her to call in after the half hour, so we hope that she'll be here. And she's a lovely person, and certainly. Now, the other thing, let's go ahead and talk about Agenda 21, because I think it's important. What is Agenda 21, and why is it significant, and what does it have to do with sustainable development?
I think one of the best things I've read about this, it was an article that, well, actually, I've read many good articles, and I think your packet on Sustainable Development Agenda 21 is so good, because you pick out some of the best things that just are so ridiculous when you read the fine print and all that they are doing. But I also read this article by Michael Shaw called What is a Soviet? And when you find the Agenda 21 model as set up, it's really based on the Soviet system, where they have these little interconnected councils, which is how the Soviet system works. And these councils are manipulated to come up with a preconceived agenda. That's what we have seen here in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County, with all of their little councils that they have now established that then eventually will report to the Board of Supervisors. But these councils are the ones that come up with all sorts of strange Agenda 21 sustainable development ideas. He mentions one that he noticed in Santa Cruz was a fire safety council that was created in order to impose a countywide habitat conservation plan that was designed by the federal government of the interior and would have prevented any rural landowners from reducing vegetation fuel loads on their land in the name of safety. So they would not be able to clean out their ditch banks or get rid of anything that would actually have caused a fire. But, you know, it's all very strange. Another one was a watershed council established for nearly every trickling water course in order to regulate human action from the steam bank to the upland ridge. We're hearing about that.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now, of course, we've got Maria Donnelly calling in. And so Maria, of course, is the vice president of the organization that's been put together there in Santa Rosa to try to make people aware of the fact that there is an organized, orchestrated effort to take away their property rights. Good evening, Maria. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm fine. Hi, Arlene.
Hello, Maria.
You said some very kind things about me.
Well, they're all true.
I appreciate
Maria
it.
Maria has also put together a wonderful brochure about our organization that we're starting to distribute now, and it's entitled Who Really Owns Your Land? The property rights and freedoms we know in Sonoma County are being threatened. And it's just wonderful what she's put together.
Well, maybe we get a chance to see it this weekend, and we might even use it then as a format elsewhere. Well, Maria, you had a story you wanted to tell us tonight.
Well, I was talking to Arlene earlier, and I apologize to you and to the listening audience. Last time I was on, I had things to say, and I couldn't remap my Internet search. And today when I was doing my search, I was coming across everything about sustainable development and how there really isn't a full definition, and Agenda 21 just sort of incorporated that language to pull us all in. And I found a website by an American Indian. It was sort of a blog site that referred back to something more conventional. But he was very distressed, and he was telling the story about the American Indians, how they love Mother Earth, and how they were buying into, just down by the border, how they were buying into Agenda 21 and how it was supposed to save the land, how it was supposed to bring it back to purity. It's the whole purification process that the earth will go through. And he said what occurred to his tribe was that it was happening sooner, but in a way to them was not natural, and went against their thinking and their religious way and how they view the earth. And now they've become very leery of Agenda 21 and are fighting back because they do see, in fact, that it will destroy their Mother Earth and how they see their world. And I just found that to be so contradictory to what we're being told and what we're being fed by the by Agenda 21 and the whole and what's happening to our lives. And if you, as Raleen was saying, you know, Mother Earth and whatever they want to misquote other Native Americans as saying, and how we are told that they worship the ground and they worship the earth as a religion, and when in fact they are now afraid, you know, and it's they're afraid of what is happening to the earth. And I found that to be very interesting, very saddening, but also very interesting.
Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to read the summary we put together in our sustainable development syllabus, but it basically quotes extensively from the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report put out after the Second Earth Summit in Rio in 1992. And there, you know, they simply talk about how they want to return the world to its natural status,
yeah.
And they want to get it back to the way it was when the Indian were here and the buffalo were out there on the plains. And you know, you have to wonder, what in heaven's names are these multi-billionaires doing, talking about restoring the earth to what it was before the white man came? I mean, they're white men. What are they going to do? Are they going to just do away with all the people who are here? And this is really what they want to do. But I suspect they'd like to do away with the Indians as well.
Kristen?
Yes.
I was telling Maria that I had interviewed an American Indian up in Happy Camp, California. He was one of the foremost loggers and such an authority on all of this. And his name is Jim Waddell. He told me that as a full-blooded American Indian, he is so appalled at what's going on and all this pro-environmental wacky teaching that's happening about his own people. And he said before the American colonists came here, the American Indians had often clear-cut huge fields and pastures so they would be able to produce their crops. They needed room to grow things, and yet in our American history books we're told that an American Indian never cut down a tree, and it was just the white man that did all those terrible things. And he's the one that let me know that Chief Seattle never said any of this stuff that's been attributed to him, and it's all myth. In fact, the Indian tribe in Puget Sound, Washington, where Chief Seattle lived, are now very upset that white man keeps putting words into dead Indian chief's mouth.
Poor old Chief Seattle, I'm sure he's not very happy. Well, Maria, I certainly, as you are analyzing what's going on today, you know, certainly you've only been at this for a relatively short period of time, and yet you can see how this whole thing is being used. Really, it has nothing to do with the earth or the animals. It's all about control.
Very much so. It's about control. It's about what I'm. It's about the way we live. It's about, as you've been saying, and as I've been finding out, and we're all finding out, that it's about the very elite. This will not touch the very rich. It will only destroy the regular people. The poor people will get poorer. We will all be deemed stakeholders. Only the lowly of us will not have a stake in anything. It's about. I remember the last program I was on, a man called in and described our little living arrangements in the future as little moats around these elite castles that the wealth we cannot touch, and that it doesn't really matter to them. It's a power grab. And I do know that I've looked into our border, on the Mexican border, and why aren't we building a fence, regardless of what they said today in the House. In Washington, I don't believe that fence will be built because there is a UN treaty between America and Mexico that says that we will not build a fence, and they want to say it's for the wildlife riparian corridors and the biotic corridors and habitats, but it's not. It's for the destruction of America and the destruction of our economic system to feed the very wealthy. And the agenda that goes into not building the border is so defiant and so hidden that we're only getting the glossed over effect of it. Obviously, our president is way behind on taking care of our country in that aspect of personal opinion. But there is an agenda, a hidden agenda, to not building the border fence. And it has to do with the power that Agenda 21 wields in our country.
And that's kind of what I found out last year in November. I went with the Eagle Forum leader from Sacramento to go visit the border between Chula Vista and Mexico. And the head of the Border Patrol there was giving us a tour. And he showed us this huge fence that had been built and how wonderful it was in stopping illegal immigration. But he told us as soon as the fence comes to the border of San Diego County, it stops. And I said, why? This is the area where they're coming in the most. He said, well, it's because of environmental reasons. There is an endangered baka bird bush. And I thought, how silly. If there really were an endangered bush, it would be trampled on by all of the thousands of illegals that cross every night. But just what Maria said, they really don't want the borders to be closed, pretending that they're allowing corridors for these animals to come through. But it's really just to undermine our nation even more and take from those who have and give to those who have not and bring us down to a third world country. And they're succeeding. It's amazing.
They are. I've said before, we can send them off and fight the good fight for as long as we can. I do know that in Arizona and the other border states where the national parks are, the federal lands are, and the Mexicans are coming through in droves, the radical environmentalists are now getting involved to stop that from happening. All these people who love freedom and love diversity want that to stop because of what the illegals are doing to the land and the destruction that they're causing along the border to nature. And I'm finding that there's such an infighting now between environmental groups and people who want freedom for everybody. And it's as if it's burning from the inside out now. It's as if it's coming to a head. And I think the more we get educated, and the more we know and we research and we listen and we read, the better off we're going to be and the better guarded we can be to protect ourselves.
Well, I think our biggest thing, of course, is to begin to reach people throughout the country and to get them thinking and beginning to see the pattern, how this all ties together. Because, I mean, the common denominator behind this whole immigration movement and this movement for security and prosperity partnership and of course, building this this NAFTA highway is going to be, of course, to go ahead and do away with the national sovereignty and eventually merge us into a North American community and then into a one-world government. The common denominator behind this whole thing of sustainable development and Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. And it is not something that simply is in Santa Rosa or in Santa Cruz. It is a worldwide program that it massively increases the power of the government and will eventually lead to a one-world government. This is really what it's all about, and there's a common denominator behind everything going on, but people can't see it. All they see is the little isolated things, but they can't connect the dots.
We were in our, Orlando and I went to our Planning Commission meeting the other day and talked to a woman on the Planning Commission, and I tried to explain to her that she thought we were on this very local level, don't take my water, don't take my land, and we started to discuss that the GP 2020 is on every single Planning Commission's agenda on the entire country, that everybody's new general plan is called GP 2020, and didn't this woman think that was odd? And I could see in her face that she she knew the language, but I don't think that she understood that we knew the depth of it. And if you look at most of these planning commissions, they're made up of environmentalists. They're made up of people who have an agenda, it was brought down from the top. And the citizens are catching on, and we do realize how imperative it is to take steps against this. But the language is so over the entire state, over the entire nation, the language is exactly the same.
Because it's a coordinated program. Will you hang on, Maria? I think we can pick up right now Jeannie Soderman, who's sort of our resident expert on a lot of this. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Well, I've been bad today, Dr. Stanley.
Why do you say today?
Hello, ladies.
Hi, Jeannie. Hello, Jeannie.
You know, I'm looking at all the advisory commission meetings. And I missed this one, and I went today. It's called the Historic Resources Commission. And what they did today in Santa Cruz County, they listed about 23 properties in the county as having historical values. And what that does is they can arbitrarily overrule private property rights and say, okay, now we're going to overlay your home with this historic designation. And so I got up, and there were a lot of property owners there, and I says, well, this sounds like a Soviet council. And I remember reading in and looking at the video America, the one that Dr. Stan, that was put out by the good faction of the CIA, and they played it once on TV in 1987, and then they pulled it. But there was a Russian colonel that said, I love these advisory committees because we can tell them what to advise. And this goes back where you were talking about the planning commission. Is Steve Guinea was there from the planning department. And he was advising these three ladies on the Historic Resources Commission what to do. And I finally got up, and I couldn't take it anymore, Dr. Stan. And I says, you know, this is the most inept commission I have ever listened to. I have a suggestion. You three ladies just go away, because what we have here with Steve Guinea in the planning department, he is advising you what to tell to the Board of Supervisors. We don't need you three ladies. It's time for you to go away and let the people understand that the planning department is the lead planner for Agenda 21 and this world domination coming up. Well, then I walked out. I was so, I was not pleased, let's say. And there was dead silence in the room. You couldn't hear a pin drop. But then the homeowners looked at me and smiled.
Imagine. It's wonderful.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, Jeannie, thanks for being on.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That's our resident expert on this. In fact, Jeannie actually did the Agenda 21 of the Global Biodiversity Assessment that is in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. It took her 3 months to go through all this and get it all there, but it's an excellent summary of what's going on. There really is a plan, a master plan, put forward by people of great wealth to take away your freedom, to take away your property, and to establish a feudalistic system.
Dr. Stan?
Yes?
We discovered, Maria and I and some other members of our group last Tuesday night when we were there, that our presence, being in there, just watching this commission discuss what they're discussing, I think really affects the outcome. They toned down their language much more. Instead of saying that these things will be mandatory, it was, we highly suggest. And it was really interesting. We probably were the first group that has ever actually sat in on their commission meetings. Mm-hmm. Kind of a little watchdog. And I think that makes a big difference.
That's very important. We were noticing the, if you look on the on any anybody out in America can go to a planning commission meeting. We went to not just the public hearing, but they're called deliberations. And I thought they were always closed sessions where they talk amongst themselves and it's very secretive. Well, it's not. So if you go to your local planning commission site, or you actually go in the office and get a calendar, go to the deliberation meetings where they will sit around and actually discuss amongst themselves what they're going to do with your life. And it's very important to be there. I never thought that. I just thought deliberations were for grown-ups. I didn't know that they were for the regular people. And now that we're going to them, it's very eye-opening. And I want to say something about what Jeannie was saying also, because it's happening here. This Michael Shaw put out a great article that Orlean pointed out, and what is a Soviet? And he discusses stakeholder consensus councils. And I believe that that is what is happening in our planning commissions on our local levels, as well as in the country, but since we're staying local, we will, and that's what they are. They are consensus councils, and they will lead and they will conduct their business until they get a consensus towards their agenda. And it's very frightening, but I do believe we can make a difference.
Well, Maria, we have to keep trying. I'm more optimistic than I've ever been before. I've been at this for 44 years, as you know, and I think there's a growing awareness, not only on this issue, but on many other issues. And once we can make the people understand that the media is controlled, the educational system is controlled, that their minds have been molded, their taste forms, their ideas suggested largely by men they have never heard of. Once people can begin to understand what's going on, then they can break loose, they can begin to think, and then they're going to be able to see what you and Orlean are seeing, and we're going to be able to take America back. I'm more optimistic. I have been in a long time. You hang on. We'll wrap up this program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Orlean and Maria, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I wanted to just make mention of what wonderful things come from your radio program. The last time I was on, last Monday, this nice man from Missouri called again, Michael, and he told me that what I should say when we are at these planning committee meetings, the commission meetings, when they're discussing water, is from Black's Law Dictionary, and it gives this definition of agua cedit solo, which means the water goes with the ground. So that's what I did at the end of the last Tuesday night meeting. They turned it over to the audience to ask questions or say something. And so I told them, I said, we've learned a lot from being here and appreciate the fact that you've toned down your language a little bit concerning our water. I would like to quote to you from Black Law Dictionary, and I said this term, the water goes with the ground, and I said this is the precedent that has been set throughout our nation, throughout history. It still exists. So essentially, I wanted to tell them, why are you here and why are you doing what you're doing? You know, this is our land. This is our water. And then I also tell them, wherever a city has had its water metered, eventually that water is taxed. And that is not what we want. And that's what I'm afraid this is all about.
It's really about, of course, making it so you won't be able to use the water on your land, and you'll be forced to move into one of their sustainable communities where you can be watched and regulated and monitored in everything you do. Basically, there are people who do not believe in individual freedom. If they did, they wouldn't even be part of these committees, and they would be objecting to what they're doing. So once we understand what they're up to, and we can simply point out the fact it's all a matter of control. Do you believe in fascism? Because that's exactly what this is. This is not democracy. It's fascism.
And when you understand the definition of fascism is private ownership of property, but with total government control, that's exactly what they want.
Amen. Well, Maria, do you have a parting thought before we let you go?
No, I want to thank you for giving us the time on the radio. I think it's so important. I know that there's so many people out there listening to you that the word's going to get out. Just normal citizens who have never written books, have never done research, have never been involved, but know that something's going on. And I so appreciate the ability to be able to get the message out that everybody can work towards this and everybody can fight for the greater good and to keep our country sovereign.
Well, God bless you both. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Looking forward to your coming this Saturday.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to coming to our all-day conference. It's on the 29th of October, And, of course, we're going to have some great speakers. If you're interested in coming, why, give us a call. And if you are coming from outside, you're coming from a distant spot, we will have for the next 2 weeks access to a block of rooms at a reduced rate, and give us a call, and we'll go ahead and line them up for you. Otherwise, of course, you'll have to see if you can get rooms on your own. But this is a beautiful area to be that time of year. And I know the people have been here in the past. Why, at the end of the meeting, why, most of them don't want to go home. Anyway, that's the 29th of October, and do, if you possibly can, make arrangements to come. And then, of course, we certainly want to suggest, if you have not yet read the material we have on sustainable development, we have a Dixie Lee Ray's books, Trashing the Planet, and her other books on the environment. We have two books by Dixie Lee Ray on the environment. We have our sustainable development syllabus, which is so vitally important, and there's a video that goes with that called Sustainable Development, the Road to the New World Order. We have Holly Swanson's book, Set Up and Sold Out. And we have, of course, access to other books as well, but those are the ones we ordinarily carry. And we have four tape sets on sustainable development. You need to understand what it's all about, because it's really all about fascism. And you say, well, why would anybody want that? And you have to understand that there are very wealthy people who want to control you. And they are motivated by dark and sinister spiritual forces. And I'm talking about people like Marie Strong. I'm talking about people like Mikhail Gorbachev. I'm talking about people like Stephen Rockefeller, the three authors of the Earth Charter. And if you haven't read the Earth Charter, shame on you. You can get it on the Internet, or, of course, if you can't get it there, we'll send you a copy, but it's included in the Sustainable Development Syllabus, which is what you really need to have, which has the assessment, the Global Biodiversity Assessment Summary, the World Bank Water Policy. It has the Earth Charter. It has my Population Control Agenda monograph, and so much more. We'll take you into the Georgia Guidestones. You'll see them there in Elberton, Georgia, where, of course, the Ten Commandments come from the very pit of hell. And the first one, in eight different languages, is maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Now, since there are over 6 billion people on the world, how are they going to maintain the population at 500 million unless they're planning to eliminate 90%? Of the world's population? And you may think that's absurd, but you, of course, you haven't read what Jacques Cousteau has said, and Samuel Keane, and so many of the other people. In fact, there was a professor down in Texas recently who gave a talk where he suggested eliminating 90% of the world's population, and the faculty there gave him a standing ovation. We're dealing with organized evil, and when you understand that, so much of what's going on makes sense. The coming war with Iran, the present war with Iraq, the war with Afghanistan, it's organized evil. The Second World War, where between 40 and 60 million people were needlessly slaughtered. When people in the United States were funding Adolf Hitler through that war, that's a book called Trading with the Enemy by a man named Hingham, or, of course, Professor Sutton's book, which we do carry, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, during the war, our factories were, American-owned factories, were building the war material for the Wehrmacht, for Hitler's military, and they built most of the trucks that were taking the German soldiers to Normandy, where they would, of course, kill American soldiers. But we did the same thing in Vietnam. Who do you think financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War? You need to get my talk. The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, my interview with Professor Sutton, or, well, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.
questioning. There are many people acting wise. There are many people paying attention. There are many now who see the big lie. There are many.
Good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Yah's creation. It is Thursday, the 14th of September, 2006. And yeah, I suppose it's getting tired, it's getting, redundant. We all know it's happening, folks. Question is, what are we going to do about it? Where is your line in the sand? This is Dave Von Kleist.